Hi, and thanks so much for joining us at Tight Court Title Tuesdays at 2. I'm Ryan Pulliam. Between the pandemic, the protest, and politics, I think a lot of us are just hoping to hear some good news at some point soon. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the real estate industry because aside from the 2008 financial crisis, where real estate really kind of led us down that deep path, a lot of experts have said real estate's actually going to bring us out of this current recession that we're in. So did that happen in May? We don't know. But the good news is our guest today does. And even if it was bad news, he has such a great sense of humor that I'm sure he could deliver the bad news to us and we'd walk away with a smile. So I'm extremely excited to welcome Jeffrey Lavelle, who is the owner broker of The Brokerage here in town. So Jeff, thanks so much for joining us at Tight Court Title Tuesdays at 2.
Thank you, Ryan. Extremely excited is probably a little bit too much of a sell. So let's dial back the expectations a little bit.
All right, we'll temper it down a little bit. So, Jeff, you know, thanks so much for joining us. I know you've been busy selling houses, but before we jump into what happened in the market in May, can you just maybe share with our audience how you got into real estate and what prompted you to open up your own shop?
Well, it's a long, long story. Not enough time to go into it today because I am self-important. But I want to just say I felt like the direction of the business that I was in was not quite where I wanted it to be. And so, you know, I think the only way you can really choose your destiny is to be at the helm, so to speak. So I have a couple of really great friends that are my teammates and realtors with my company, and they pushed me out and said, it's time to do it. And so we did it.
That's awesome. You've been going strong ever since. So, Jeff, you know, getting into the actual market about what happened in May. May closings kind of told the story of late March and April openings when we were really in the rut of the shutdown, the shelter in place, and the pandemic. What did we see in terms of closings for May around the valley?
Well, some things are up, some things are down, you know, as often is the case. But units available are actually down from last month, April. Units sold are actually down. So all good things since April. Median home price is up though. So the median home price is up a little bit, $5,000 on the sales price and up $17,000 on the list price. So it's positive. I think we have a bunch of pent up demand personally that people who were in their homes during quarantine, stay at home. I don't want to say quarantine. Don't want to get me upset. But during the stay-at-home orders, I think people got tired of the homes that they're in. They were a little bit of cabin fever and maybe want to change a pace for the next quarantine that might happen. So we'll see.
Exactly. I always said if I decide to get a girlfriend before the next shelter in place, I think she's going to have to be a chef because I definitely put on a little bit of the quarantine weight. So if there's anybody out there, I don't know what could happen.
I call it the COVID-25.
COVID-25. I like it. So we did see that you said that, you know, some things were up, some things were down. I think number of transactions for May was actually down from April, but that makes sense. But you said that about the inventory. We didn't see a huge influx of inventory in May, correct?
We didn't. I mean, we're down 29% from last year, which, you know, this is typically the time of year when kids are getting out of school, parents are deciding to, this is the time to relocate. You know, everybody has their obligations kind of relaxed on the school side of things. So parents typically decide that's a good time to make the move. We see May, June, July being pretty busy. And then, of course, as school starts to get back to it, August is usually pretty slow. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But August tends to be slower. And then when everybody gets in the groove and soccer practice and everything that's got to go on happens, it looks like fall typically for me has been busy. So we'll see. I guess that's the crystal ball is broken. So we'll have to wait and see what the market does.
And you did talk about the median home price, because I think that's when this first happened. Again, we kind of harken back to that 08 experience where prices tanked so fast. And everybody, I think, had that moment of sheer panic thinking, oh, my gosh, here we go again. But you said that the median price actually increased a little bit. So that was month over month from April to May. What is it in terms where we were in it last year? Is the median price, has it still gone up? Is it a wide range so people have a lot of equity to work with? Or what are we seeing for median prices?
Yeah, median price is up 5% from last year. So it's respectable. You know, we look at growth, healthy growth, 3 to 5% increases in sales prices year over year. It's a sustainable thing that most markets can support and keep up with. You know, we always, I think people get excited when they see 12 and 15% growth. That always makes me nervous. You know, seeing that kind of unsustainable growth in any market is in my opinion, not a very healthy thing. But, you know, smarter people than I make those decisions. But 3 to 5% is a really easy number to keep track of. And hopefully that's what we continue to see. It's, look, zero is better than negative. So if we're above, you know, on the plus side or flat, I think we should be pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I'm not real bullish on a big appreciation through to the end of the year because, you know, people don't buy at home price, they buy a monthly payment, and I just don't see incomes really rising a whole lot before the end of the year. I think companies are kind of trying to get back on their feet a little bit. So I'm thinking that I think that home prices will probably stay pretty stable to the end of the year. What are you kind of seeing or what are you forecasting for that broken crystal ball for median home prices towards the end of the year?
Well, you know, the funny thing to me is interest rates are really the driving factor right now. You've right. got people that are able to buy homes in some cases under 3% interest. You know, it's not going to go much lower than it is today because servicers have to get paid. And so, you know, the much bigger conversation about servicers and interest rates. But generally speaking, if you have not refinanced, if you have not looked into buying a home, I had a buyer the other day that bought a home for $1,100. I mean, down payment assistance, closing costs paid by the seller. You know, this is a time where people have an opportunity to really get a leg up. And I think that people really should look into, look, if we do have another quarantine or another stay at home because the flu season comes around and causes people concern again, I would personally rather be stuck in a home than in a rental. So, you know, at least you have that stability and you know that, you know, it's not really the investment. It's about making sure that your housing expenses every month are contained and that you know how much you're going to spend every month on housing and you don't have a landlord deciding what your payments are going to be.
Right. And so with that being said, if there are some folks who may be sitting on the sidelines, maybe they're not viewers of the show, so they don't completely understand what's happening with prices.
How can they not view the show? Everybody watches the show.
It's shocking, I know, but there are a few folks. My mom is out there, so hey, Mom. But the there are folks who may be sitting on the sideline thinking, okay, prices are going to come cratering down, and then I'm going to get an opportunity. Then I'm going to go ahead and jump into doing that. But what are you seeing for price decreases for active inventory on the MLS?
Well, the decreases that I've been seeing tend to be people who are overpriced that are trying to test the market that are coming down to realistic pricing. I don't see the market itself decreasing in price, and that's supported by our MLS stats. I don't think that we're seeing the actual pricing come down. I think the price reductions that at least I'm seeing are relevant more towards people who have been higher up in price, and maybe their motivation's improved, they want to move, they've decided it's time to actually list the property for a price that's going to cause it to sell. So I don't think that the price reductions are indicative of prices, the closed sales prices changing. It's more or less the asking prices becoming more reasonable.
That's great insight. So Jeff, because you are, I mean, you're obviously a leader in the industry and a lot of people come to you, you play that consultory role. What are you really paying close attention to over the next probably 3 to 6 months? I mean, is it inventory? Is it pricing? Is it number of transactions? What are you really honing in on and making sure you're paying attention to?
I pay attention to my wife and kids. That's first and foremost.
That's awesome. But
if I don't, she gets upset. So the main thing I think paying attention to right now is keeping our clients informed about the realities of the market. You know, not talking out of both sides of our mouths. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't, as real estate professionals, have to know the future. We just have to know how to interpret the data that we have today and provide cautious and pragmatic information to our clients, help them avoid that panic that led to such a big problem back when the market crashed. But understanding too that the market factors that existed back when the market crashed do not exist in the same way today. Many, many, many of those factors that led to the market crash are gone. They don't exist. We're much stronger than we were back then. So stay calm. Talk to a real estate professional that's been through the crisis, that understands the numbers, and pay attention to your microcosm. Your world is really what matters. Do you have to sell or are you trying to sell? Do you want to get a certain price? Are you realistic and understand what the market will pay for you today? If I went to my stockbroker and said I wanted to sell GE at $5,000 a share and it's trading at $2,500, you know, he's going to put a sell order in and let me know when it's worth $5,000. We have to understand that our homes are worth what they're worth today, and not what we want them to be worth.
And I think that's so important, especially right now, because there are so many sensationalized headlines, and you really have to kind of dig deep. And you talked about making sure you're making your sphere and your past clients aware of what's actually happening in the market. And it's not just the, oh my gosh, now's the best time to buy, or no, you need to sell now. I mean, really taking it and saying, okay, personally, what's it mean for you? What does the market mean for you? And I think that's so important, because like you said about the stock market, if I went to my financial advisor and all he talked about was the Dow Jones Industrial Average, after a while, I'd kind of lose a little bit. Like, I want to know what's happening in my particular portfolio. So that being said, you know, how are you staying in front of your sphere, of your past clients? What information are you getting them? And then in terms of lead flow, what are you guys seeing, you and in your brokerage, what are you guys seeing in terms of leads coming in and what that demand might be like?
Well, you know, there's a lot of questions there. I think the lead status is, like I said, the pent-up demand that kind of coming from buyers that were hesitant, a little nervous about what this stay-at-home order might mean. You know, I think people are more comfortable leaving their homes now, a little more comfortable with social distancing. We're learning more about COVID. We're learning more about, you know, how to protect ourselves. From a demand standpoint, I think we're going to stay strong through the end of the year. And my hope is that, you know, we're able to strike a good balance between a strong seller's market and a healthy buyer's market, where both parties are getting pretty much what they're looking for. You know, a quick sale, maybe some help in closing costs. And, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to through the end of the year.
Gotcha. And then we had Dustin DeHart with Nova Home Loans on last week, and we kind of talked about the forbearance and what's going on there. Have you heard anything? I mean, are your clients saying, yeah, I jumped into forbearance because I couldn't make the mortgage payment? Or are most of your past clients making their mortgage payments? What do you kind of see in terms of folks that are with that monthly obligation, if they're still sticking to it? And when the government lifts the stay on foreclosures, do you think we're going to see a big influx of those, or do you think that's going to be pretty steady for the rest of the year?
Well, I think the banks and the government learned their lesson back in the collapse of our mortgage. I mean, it really was a collapse of our housing market. And I think a lot of people understood that, have learned lessons from that period of our time. And it's still pretty fresh. I mean, it wasn't much, you know, 13 years ago or so that we really saw the bottom fall out. So generally, I think that the banks are going to be more willing to work with people in allowing them to maintain their mortgage payments or some sort of negotiated settlements on these mortgage payments to stay in the homes and get caught up. I think the government's going to probably take a bigger step this time than they did before in working with the banks to keep people in homes. We don't want a national homelessness crisis. We don't want to see rents skyrocket because of the excess demand because of foreclosures. So, you know, my hope, and, you know, again, smarter people than I are back there making these decisions, but, you know, I would encourage people to understand forbearance in its entirety. I don't have any clients that have elected to do forbearance. For the most part, they're able to maintain their payments or work out something with the bank. But, you know, talk to your bank, but also make sure you're talking to somebody who really understands mortgages. I recommend talking to a mortgage professional. Realtors are great information for housing, for markets, and we can be a great source of the source, but really you should make sure that you're consulting with people who are competent in those other areas of practice.
Well, if there are folks out there that are smarter than you, Jeff, that was a pretty smart answer. So I hope I want to meet them. But lastly, Jeff, was there anything else that happened either in May, April, March, since this kind of whole thing happened, real estate wise or just industry as a whole, that really shocked you or anything that you want to leave with our audience with?
You know, I think I've come to the point in 16 years of doing this that nothing really shocks me anymore. You know, I do scratch my head a lot about things that are going on in our marketplace. But, you know, from the broker to other realtors out there, I guess I would just ask people to maintain their ethics, maintain their discipline and their moral compass when it comes to providing even information and tempered information to our clients. You know, certainly we don't want to guide them as I've been guided in other states where I've invested in property. You rely on that professional to give you honest and truthful information. Make sure you're doing what you can for the people to give them the information that they need to make these decisions and make the right decisions. You know, it may not benefit you immediately with a sale, but the trust that you gain from those folks in the future, the referral business that you gain from it, and of course the fact that you can look yourself in the mirror I think is better than any commission check.
That's awesome. Well, what a great sentiment to end on. Jeff, thank you again so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Have I told you that you are the most resourceful people in town?
I've heard that once or twice, so thank you very much for that.
Thanks. I think it's true.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Also, I want to thank our audience for tuning in. Thank our producer, Rick Manning, down at Rigel Studios. Remember to stay safe and stay healthy. And if you're in Clark County and Nevada, vote. Today is primary day. So drop that mail-in ballot and make sure it's postmarked today. Electing our leaders is more important than ever right now. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll continue to be the most resourceful people in town.